If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Job chapter 14. As we look at the book of Job, and tonight, probably going very quickly through a couple of chapters, or not super fast, but not too long. We're only going to do probably 14 and 15 because we have communion tonight, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time for communion and an afterglow. So let's pray as you guys are finding your way to Job chapter 14. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for how you've protected our area and really this whole situation. I pray for the nation. I pray, God, that if indeed the majority of the nation is going to get this, I pray it would happen quickly and be done with. But I pray you'd protect those that are vulnerable. I pray you protect our elderly. I pray you protect those that are weaker and have pre-existing conditions. And Lord, I pray you would just kill this virus. I ask you would just remove it. Let it be a done deal. I pray, God, you'd give us wisdom and give our leaders wisdom. I pray for our governor. I pray for our mayors. I pray for our president, those in Congress, that you'd give them wisdom, God, on the best way to handle this situation and moving forward. And, Lord, that we would walk forward circumspectly as well, using wisdom and the facts and the science to make our decisions as to what we do. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've made these things available to us. So continue to protect our area, but protect our nation. And Lord, I pray you would just use this to grow the church. I pray the church would grow in the sense of a conviction about being serious with you, Lord, as we see these, I believe, last days events taking place. I pray that you would use this to bring unbelievers to you as well. You would draw in those who don't know you into the kingdom, and that we would see many be saved through this whole process. And Lord, now as we focus in tonight and get ready for just hearing your word and having communion, Lord, I pray that you would now open your word to us. I pray that you would teach us your word. You'd instruct us, God. And Lord, even as we see Job going through a trial, Lord, we also go through trials. And really as a nation and as a church, we're going through trials right now with all that's happening with the virus and our streets, Lord, with marches and riots and unrest across our nation and really around the world. So the whole world has entered into a trial. And I pray that you will let the church shine more than ever during this time. Let us be a bold voice. Let us be a bright light. And let us be a clear voice of truth in the midst of a lot of darkness. And I pray now you would speak that truth to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Chapter 14, we're in the middle of Job finishing up one of his last rebuttals, if you will. Now remember, for a quick recap, for those of you that have been with us, this is a situation where God has allowed Satan to attack Job, and now all of his friends show up, and they are accusing Job of all these horrible things. Job, the reason you're having this is that, the reason you're having this is that, and they're attacking Job back and forth and doing all these things to him. Job is responding, then they'll say something, then Job responds. And we're right in the middle of one of Job's response. Remember, a lot of things that we hear Job and his accusers saying are indeed true. A lot of things that we hear Job and his accusers saying are false. And again, as we said before, you say, but Mark, isn't this the word of God? No, it is the word of God. God is showing us everything they said in truth, but not everything they said was true. Because they're speaking from the flesh, they're speaking from man's perspective, and God's going to make this clear at the end of Job and straighten all these guys out and straighten Job out as well and correct them all. So we jump in with Job in his defense here in verse 14. It says this, or chapter 14 rather, I'm sorry, verse 1. He says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. How many can say amen to that? You know, the older I get, I feel like more like Jacob. Jacob said, my days are few and evil, you know. And Jacob was an older man. He's, you know, like 130-something years old. He's telling Pharaoh, my days are few and evil. I'm like, look, I'm 57. My days are few and evil too. So I know what you're saying, but not as much as he did. But man's days are few and they're full of trouble. I mean, look around today. We don't live long. Now look at the life we're living right now. I mean, again, we've had a great life in America. We've had a great season. We were born at a great time, were we not? Think about it, guys. Historically, the church has been radically persecuted throughout world history. Nations have been in major wars, and suddenly we get born in a generation where we live in a nation where most of the people at that time loved the Lord, or at least pretended to, and so Christians had an easy road. We've had a couple of wars, and those of you, depending on how long you've lived, have seen some of those come and go. But really, when you look at history, this has been a really kind of cushy time to live, and yet things are changing, aren't they? I don't know what the future is for the church, but I do think we need to prepare ourselves mentally for some trials and some difficult times. I do believe in the rapture, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some difficult times before the rapture. And so we need to be mentally prepared. We need to realize that the church is going to go through trials. We're going to go through different things or whatever. We'll talk about that on Sunday. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you will experience tribulation. He didn't say, the great tribulation, and believe me, those are two very different things. He said, you will experience tribulation in the world. It means a pressing, a crushing, a pressure. But he said, the great tribulation, that's my wrath, and that's set apart only for those who miss the rapture and who hate me. There'll be some saved. Obviously, we know that during that time that won't hate the Lord. But in general, that's going to be the situation. So man's days are few. They're full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. So it's a quick life. We spring. We have our moment of youth, and then it fades away quickly. We take it for granted when we have it. And then when it's gone, we look back and think, man, that went fast. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one? It's like, God, we have such a short life, and yet you look upon us and bring judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. It's almost as if Job is saying, look, why would you even look at us and want to judge us? We're just kind of here for a second and gone. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You've appointed his limits so that he can't pass. You know, you can't live any longer than God has ordained you to live. Now, you can live shorter than God has ordained you to live. What? What'd you say, Pastor Mark? The Bible says that if you choose to go into sin, your days can be shortened. And you can actually die earlier than God intended. God said, no, I wanted to give Mark this many days, but he was an idiot about right in here. And because he was an idiot, but I love him, I'm going to bring him on home. He won't get all of his days. You know, that can happen. We can shorten our days, but you can't lengthen them. You can't add to your days. You can only get the full amount by being obedient to the Lord is what God has given. He says, you've set the limits so that he can't pass. Look away from him that he may rest. Till like a hired man, he finishes his day. You know, remember, Job's in this desperate situation with these sores and worms all over his body and family dead and just things horrible. His friends beating him up. And he's like, you know what? Just let me die. Let me finish my day in peace. Just let me go, you know? Sometimes we look at what's happening in the world today. We might be thinking, you know, it wouldn't be bad to go right now, would it? Lord, come on back. You know, straighten this mess out. And so that's where Job is. He says, now, for there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it'll sprout again. And its tender shoots will not cease, though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. You know, if you've ever had a tree that you cut down that you didn't want to grow back, it's aggravating. I've got these couple of trees down below our house that we cut down, you know, and you go do the weeding or whatever. And they like, there's this big stump that's dead as can be, right? And all these little ones want to come out and start something. And I'm like, you know, you weed eat and cut them and chop them. It's like, and it's aggravating. He says, look, even a tree, just give it a little bit of water and some sunlight. It'll live. But look what he says. Verse 10, but man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave. He wants to die, see? That you would conceal me until your wrath is past. That you would appoint. Now, here's the thing. I want to make a point here. Remember, we talked about it earlier. A believer will never experience the wrath of God. So this is, again, a false statement by Job here. Job is saying, oh, that your wrath on me would pass. Remember, God wasn't doing this. God allowed Satan to do this, even though God does bring in chastisement on the believer. But what he's saying is, what we need to understand is that God does. You will never face the wrath of God, ever. Isn't that great news? That right there is enough to go home on, right? Here's what you will face. You will face man's wrath, and you will face the demonic realm's wrath, Satan's wrath. But you'll never face God's wrath. How do I know that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for we as believers have not been appointed to wrath, but to everlasting life. You know, God goes, so we've not been appointed that. You're not going to experience that wrath. That's why for those who believe, hey, we're going to be here during the great tribulation. Anybody that says the believers are going to be here during the great tribulation and the raptures afterwards, then you're going to have to go through God's wrath. You would not be able to avoid God's wrath. So that's why I have to write off the rapture being after the great tribulation completely without argument. God guarantees the believer will never go through wrath. So, and if you're here, you're going to have to go through the wrath. Trust me. Now, will there be some believers that go through that time of God's wrath? Yes, those that are saved after the rapture. But as far as leading up to that, or you know, we'll be taken out before that because we'll never go through the wrath of God. God's word is clear on that. So he says, I wish you would put me away until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If man dies, shall he live again? Now, again, we know the answer to that is yes, if you're in Christ. A lot of these things he didn't fully understand because he didn't have the word of God. It would appear at that time. Notice he says, all the days of my hard service, I will wait. As he describes his life. Days of hard service. Ever felt that way? You know? He says, until my change comes. There's a change coming, guys. You're not going to be in these bodies forever. You're not going to be in this hard life forever. You're not going to be in COVID-19 forever. You're not going to be in a nation in upheaval and turmoil forever. You're not going to be in any of this forever. This is limited. This is a difficult time, but there's hope for the believer. I just think about how in the world, if you're in the world, you don't know the Lord, just think about being there right now and look around. What's there to be hopeful about? I mean, everything looks really desperate right now. It's interesting, Paul, we're going to get to it later in 1 Thessalonians on Sunday morning, but Paul says, after he talks about the rapture, he says, the Lord will ascend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who remain will join him. You know, just basically saying those that don't have their, I believe, resurrection bodies yet will get them. That's the dead rising in Christ first. That's what I believe that is saying. And then again, everybody that's on the earth will be brought up there. They'll get their new bodies as well. And so it's kind of just like the Lord saying, look, they were here first. They're here in spirit. I'm going to let them be clothed first. And you guys get clothed as you come up. And then when he finishes that, because he's trying to encourage the Thessalonians, because remember, they were telling the Thessalonians, you missed the rapture. You missed it. He's already come back. You missed it. What? You missed it. Now, how would you like it if I told you, guys, guess what? The rapture happened, and I'm sorry, I didn't quite teach you the word good enough. We all missed it, and the great tribulation's just around the corner. We have to go through it. After you were done rushing me here on the stage and beating me to death, you start thinking, what am I going to do? How can I live through this or whatever? But Paul says something very interesting. And this, again, for those who believe we're going to be here for the great tribulation. Now, we'll talk more about this on Sunday. I do believe we could go through tribulation, guys, in the days we live. And I think we need to start preparing ourselves mentally for some of that. We need to get a little bit less of a soft underbelly here and say, you know what? We may get persecuted. We're living in days I've never seen in America. And the hatred is already turning very, very aggressively toward Israel. And throughout history, here's how it works. Turns aggressively toward Israel, then guess who's next? The church. There's even a chant the Muslims do over in Israel. They'll say, you know, first Saturday, then Sunday, first Saturday, then Sunday, first Saturday, then Sunday. And what they're saying is we're coming after the Jews first, and then once we feel like we've got them where we want them, we're coming after the Christians. So this has been the voice of Satan and the echo of the Spirit throughout history. So we need to be prepared, not the Great Tribulation, but we need to have a mental mindset. And this may be right now, the Bible talks about in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. It might be that when this persecution comes in on the church, you're going to see who really is going to stay and who's not. And sadly, we may see some of the people that we love in our ranks start disappearing. Because when somebody says, if you'll just forget all this Christian stuff, I'll leave you alone, a lot of people are going to go for that. But if you're one of those that says, you know what, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not about to walk away from the Lord now, no matter what. You're going to see a falling away. But he says in that passage, he says, the Lord will ascend, we'll go up to meet him in the clouds. And then he says something very interesting at the very end. He says, comfort one another with these words. Who needs comfort tonight? I do. You do. Comfort one another. Here, if I was to say to you, I think you're probably going to go through the great tribulation. How many of you would be comforted tonight? Would anybody go, oh, wow, that just, whoo, thanks, Pastor, that settled me. But if I say to you what I believe God's word teaches, you will not experience the great tribulation. You'll be taken out before that. He's going to descend from heaven with the shout of an archangel. The dead in Christ will rise first. The rest of us will rise to meet the Lord in the air and be there forever with the Lord. As it says in Revelation as well, pray that you can escape these things that are coming upon the earth. Endure to the end. That's good news. That's good news. Look, this is not the great tribulation. Now think about it. This is just kind of the world getting crazy. Not fun, is it? Imagine what it's going to be like when the Great Tribulation takes place. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. If you grew up in the South, and I'll use the same example all the time, I'm sorry. But it just it's right there in your face. You grew country ham, right? I hate country ham. So my wife loves it. But like country ham's like, oh. I don't like it. It's all salt. But there's a reason you can hang that guy out in the barn without a refrigerator. Right? And you walk out there over the next year and cut off a piece and eat it and keep working on the farm, you know. First of all, something's wrong with meat that you can do that with right off the bat, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But why is that? Salt is a preservative. Guess what you guys are on the earth right now? You're the preservative. If this country ham called earth is now covered in salt all around it, and we're seeing happen what's happening today, imagine when the Lord descends and the salt goes up, and that piece of meat's hanging in the universe barn. Now, we're having fun with that, right? But now think about it for those who are here living on that piece of meat. Think about living in a place that's rotting around you and there's nothing to preserve it. There's nothing good but those who come to Christ and are stuck in the middle of it going through this mess until the great tribulation is done, or else you die before that and you're in the kingdom of God. It's going to get... Make sure you know Jesus. If there's ever a time to make sure you're walking with God as a Christian and that you know Jesus, make sure you know Jesus. Because these are serious days and they're only going to get more serious. And I want us to be tough. I want us to be ready to get yelled at. I want us to be ready maybe to get sucker punched. We've never faced that. But times are changing in America. And I don't want to, you know, make you afraid. But I don't want to just paint a rosy picture and say, you know what, it's going to be like it's always been. Things are changing. It's already not like it's always been. So just be prepared. Start preparing yourself mentally. But know this, there will be a trumpet blast. You're not going to go through great tribulation. You may go through tribulation. And those of you that are here Wednesday night, you're going to hear this again Sunday. I apologize. I didn't plan on sharing my Sunday message with you. But let's get focused again. He says, you know, there's no hope for man. You know, this is what's going to happen. But my change will come. There in verse 14, all the days of my hard service I'll wait till my change comes. You shall call and I'll answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but you do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag and you cover my iniquity. But as a mountain falls and crumbles away, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. How picturesque. Think about it. You've seen water over a rock for a long time. It starts kind of cutting a groove in the rock, right? And then you see water where it comes in a torrent. Like we had that downpour the other day, and I'm watching all this work at her going, I don't want, you know, the ruts and the gullies. And here go a couple of gullies down there, you know, in the Kid Run Valley. I'm like, ah, right? Kind of panicked about it. But that really makes the illustration. What he's saying is some people's lives are done like that. There's a hard storm, boom, they're gone. It's like they were so young, they just died. What happened? You know, they're just gone. And some people, they just kind of just keep on going and going and going, right? They live to be a great old age, as the Bible would say, and they slowly wear down like water wearing on the rock. What Job is saying is this, look, you may have a real long life and you may have a real short life, but all of us are going to die. God's in control of that. And he says here, so you destroy the hope of man. But again, this is now, he's speaking out of desperation. We know this is not really how it is. He says, you prevail forever against him and he passes on. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor and he doesn't know it. That is, once he's dead, he doesn't know what happens after that. Even if his sons gain honor, he never knows it. They're brought low and he does not perceive it. So whether they go up or down, he doesn't know if they're honored or dishonored. But his flesh will be in pain over it and his soul will mourn over it. Then Eliphaz, we'll just read one rebuttal here from Eliphaz. We'll be done tonight. It says, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, should a wise man answer with empty knowledge? Now again, they just again start attacking Job again. Every time Job tries to get a breath of air, they attack him again. Should a wise man answer with empty knowledge? Like you're obviously empty here, Job. And fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and you restrain prayer before God, for your iniquity teaches your mouth and you choose the tongue of the crafty. He said, look, all you're doing is you're living in iniquity and that's telling you what to say. And you're just crafty, crafty, crafty. You're just this big con artist. It's like, man, your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are you the first man who was born or were you made before the hills? Are you so smart, Job? Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we don't know? What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray-haired and the aged man are among us, much older than your father. And the consolations of God, are the consolations of God too small for you? And a word spoken gently with you? Well, yeah, if you'd give me a word spoken gently, that might be nice, but you're not. Why does your heart carry you away? And what does your eye wink at that you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth? He's saying, what sin is it that you're doing that you'd be so bold against God? What is man that he could be pure? And you know, so quit defending yourself, in other words. Or he who is born of a woman, that he could be righteous. If God puts no trust in his saints and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man who's abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. What wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them, the wicked man writhes in pain with all his days. Ooh. You see how you're writhing in pain with all your sores, Job, and all your stuff going on? You're wicked. Again, thank you for the encouragement, brother. And the number of his years is hidden from the oppressor. Dreadful sounds are in his ears. Yeah, it's you guys. Dreadful sounds are in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he'll return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. He wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at hand. Trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle. For he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty. That's you, Job. Running stubbornly against him with a strong embossed shield. So quit being so stubborn in your pride and fighting God, and God will bless you. Though he's covered his face with fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities and houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins, and he will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. Now, he makes a comment about whether or not he's, you know, are you healthy and have you gained weight or whatever? Because back in that day, you didn't have much food. I mean, food wasn't as abundant as it is now. And so somebody that was able to eat enough to gain any weight, really, and not just survive, it showed you were wealthy. He says, look, obviously you've got wealth. You've been able to live this way. Now you're being drained of all your resources because you sinned against God, but your wealth didn't continue because of your sin, he's saying. He will not depart from darkness. The flame will dry out his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in futile things, deceiving himself, for futility will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not be green. He will shake off his unripe grape like a vine and cast off his blossom like an olive tree. In other words, this man is cut off before his time. Didn't even have time for the grape to become ripe. Didn't even have time for the blossom to turn into an olive. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. They conceive trouble. They bring forth futility, and their womb prepares deceit. So again, he just goes on here really attacking Job, tearing Job down, telling Job what a terrible guy that he is. And next week, we're going to see that Job goes back into a whole other back and forth. And again, this whole thing of, you know, let me talk more and you talk more. And we're going to continue that through the book of Job. I know it can be a little bit laborious, but again, it's very insightful as you read through Job. It's insightful to see how people think and how people process things, and how Job in his anguish, being righteous but being accused, processes it, and how they accuse him falsely. We see all the same things today. The same things still go on that went on back then, and it's no different. And so, again, next week, if you want to read ahead, we'll probably cover several chapters again. You know, last week, I think we did 8 chapters, and then we did 2 tonight because we're going shorter because of communion. But go ahead and read a good 5 chapters anyway. Maybe you want to go to 8 chapters and kind of get ahead and see what's going on, and that way you'll be prepared when we get there. And it could just be kind of these things mulling around your brain before we get there. But I want to finish tonight just by saying, basically, you know, is this. Here's the bottom line. Look, in trials, trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Job didn't know what was going on. Job was falsely accusing God. Trust the Lord. Don't falsely accuse God. When people give you counsel around you, then hopefully you have somebody that's got some wisdom and will be gentle with you and try to encourage you. You're going to have people around you that tell you, I know what's going on. You're in sin. You need to repent. And don't find yourself being that person that does that. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Just because someone is having a horrific life does not mean they're in sin. Now, again, I know sometimes that can be the case, but that's not always the case, and we need to be very careful that we don't cast that on a brother and a sister going through, especially when they need encouragement and love in a difficult time. And as Job even brings up in this whole process, he said, look, even if I was living in sin and everything was horrible, you guys should be nice to me because my life's miserable. And so I think even if somebody is living in sin, we confront that sin, but we still should be a loving brother or sister to them, or maybe especially someone that doesn't know the Lord, trying to reach them and bring them into the kingdom. So make sure your heart stays tender, and let God use you in that way. So let's pray. Let's God, we'll finish this first segment here. Ask God to bless the teaching of his word and let the seeds that were planted tonight do what it was that God sent them to do in your heart. And then we'll transition over into a time of communion and just really seeking the Lord and more worship, which I'm excited to do, and just see what God does in our hearts tonight and through you guys as we have a time of afterglow. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Again, just seeing your faithfulness to Job. He didn't know what was going on, Lord, and he was accusing you and attacking you in many ways, and yet he still felt that conviction and realized that you were righteous, and he would mention your righteousness and then falsely accuse you, and then he had all these men around him, Lord, falsely accusing him and ascribing all these sins to him for how he was living, and what a horrible situation Job was in. And yet, Lord, we know we go through trials and we see other people that go through trials. We see the world right now going through a trial and our nation going through a trial. And rather than trying to figure out every reason why, Lord, help us just to trust you. I thank you that you're in control of all of it. And we rest in that. And I pray now that you would just give us wisdom in these days. We need great wisdom to be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. Give us that wisdom, Lord. Give us that hope. I thank you that we have hope. I thank you, Lord, that although we see the world going crazy, Lord, we realize that there is going to be that day we either leave this body and you carry us into the kingdom, or the day we hear that trumpet blast and you rescue us from this world that is rapidly dying. So, Father, we thank you. Praise your holy name for your word. Lord, let it do in our hearts what you sent it to do tonight. Pray you'd water it. God, I pray that even as those frustrating stumps that start growing those branches out the bottom that you just have to kind of keep whittling away. I thank you, Lord, for what the rain does when it hits those that have roots. And tonight I pray the rain of your spirit would fall on everyone in here with roots that are buried deep in you, and you would let fresh sprouts of life just spring up into fruitful lives, and Lord, into hope and to joy. Lord, a world that doesn't have a lot of hope and joy, I thank you for the hope and joy that you give us, and let us radiate that hope and joy for a world around us that'll be drawn in, and Lord, can join us at your table celebrating the wedding supper of the Lamb, I believe, very, very soon. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, we thank you, and we glorify your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.